So the title of my preach is God is waiting outside the boat, right? And what I want to be preaching on is that's cheesy. Yeah? It's like a proper cheesy. Yeah, but it's good. But what I want to be preaching on is I want to look at a brief moment in the life of Peter, right? And did you know that the Bible teaches? I'll get back to this. Did you know that the Bible teaches that within a certain region or within a certain area, there's often these demonic strongholds. Like the thing that we're wrestling with in this area, right, or there's these high places, the Bible we call them high places often. The things that we're struggling with as a people in this town might be different than other towns. And what I've seen in Bloemfontein, one of the big things is not a lack of faith in God necessarily, but a lack of faith to step out of the boat. There's no risking it. There's no taking a chance. It's really something I think is a stronghold over Bloemfontein, is a passivity, like a passiveness to want to just stay safe. And that's why I love the story of Peter. I mean, do you think stepping outside of a boat, like are you literally climbing out? It's not on the shore. It's in the middle of like the water, stepping out. That's quite a big risk, right? And I mean, I really think God wants us to have that heart where we step out of the boat, where we break that stronghold of being passive and not wanting to follow God where he goes. Right? I want to read a scripture that I got on the end. You don't need to put it on. But it's John 12, verse 26. It says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servant must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. You notice what Jesus says here? Look, I know, you know, God is with us, but he's saying, no, we need to be with him. We often have this idea. Now, look, yes, God is with us, but we have become comfortable with the idea that God is where I am. But where he says, no, you need to be where I am. So we need to go where he goes. We need to step out of the boat if he's not in the boat. Granted, if Jesus is in the boat with you, great. Yeah, you just stay there. That's safe. But if he steps out, we need to step out. And it's one of the things that I've seen, even in my own life as a Christian. I walk with God and I'm powering and hallelujah. And it's all of a sudden, I feel like he's not there anymore. And I wrestle with those things. And I've noticed that it's not that he has left me. It's that I've left him. It's like he has moved on. He has walked somewhere where I was not willing to go. And that has caused that feeling of, where are you, God? Why should he just stick with me? You know what I mean? It's like he's going places. He's doing things. He's the savior of the world. You know, he's got places to be, people to save. Right? So it's almost like, well, we follow him. No? We're his servant. He's not our servant. Now, how many times we go to God? God, this is your will for my life. Right? No. It's like, God, what's your will for my life? And I do that. Anyway, so I want to read Matthew 14, the story of Peter stepping out of the boat and Jesus walking on water. Right, got it on there. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that the disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were frightened, fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on water. That's like quite a scene, right? You see the sea now? They're in this Kristrif Dam. Probably not Kristrif. they're on the lake, and man, things are going bad. There's a storm around them, and Jesus comes walking on the water towards them. And in verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. Sorry, it was a bit of a tongue twister. Eh? So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the strong winds and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. He didn't think, he sink. Just my Afrikaans accent, just to make it okay. It's not like he saw the waves, like, hmm. He went, you know. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. You know what's interesting? The moment they got back in the boat, the wind and the waves just died down. I would feel a bit like, yes, Lord. Couldn't have done that like 10 minutes earlier. Right? But I think it's an object lesson for us. That God would allow Peter to sink for me and you. That we can read this and learn from it. And can I say this? God might allow you to sink so that some around you could learn. Right? But shout out to him. God, save me. That's not the point what I was going to make. Anyway, I want to look at 5 lessons. And I think we can take out of Peter's life. 5 lessons. So lesson number 1. Faith comes by hearing from Jesus. It's quality presentation, this. I could see Peter dying on the inside. Faith comes by hearing from Jesus. Matthew, in verse 28, "Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water." You see, man, we often have this thing of, man, we just need to have faith. Have faith in it all. No, you need to have faith in what Jesus said. Right? You know, there's this teaching, it's not going around anymore, but it used to be a teaching going around. You know, you just need to name it and claim it. You just need to believe. You just need to have faith. You know that nice 3-bedroom house in Langenhoven Park that you want? You need to claim it. Oh, you need to claim that place, bro. Yeah, amen. Yes, you got to have faith, bro. Yeah? You know that nice, what's a nice car? A Cherry. A Tiguan. You know that nice new Tiguan that you want? Yeah, claim it, bro. Yeah. You know that nice holiday in Mauritius that you really want? Yeah. Claim it. And post it on your Facebook that you want it. Faith and ins. No, I'm joking. No, but we've got this thing of, man, you just, you know, you need to have more faith. Well, Peter didn't just jump out and say, like, whoa, I'm going to have faith. And he said, do you notice what Peter's doing? He says, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come, and then I'll come." Peter knew it's only going to work if Jesus calls me there. I can only have faith if it is God. It's like Peter didn't take a chance, like, let me just, he said, well, I want to, but Jesus, if it is you, tell me to come. Because if you tell me to come, I know it's going to work. And then Jesus says, yes, come. And then Peter climbed over. Romans 10 verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now, he's speaking specifically about salvation. But if you go read that whole thing in context, it's essentially what it works is, faith comes when you hear God's voice for a certain thing. Like, you can't just muster up faith. Like, get it, you know? No. Does it make sense? Faith is like, I know God's going to do it. But I only know that he's going to do it once he said it. You can go to someone and say, yeah, I've got faith that Paul is going to do whatever. Well, you can't really have faith unless I told you that I'm going to do that. Right? If someone, let's say someone goes to Peter, or let's say Elroy goes to Peter, he's like, you know what? I really have faith that Paul is going to give me his car. Eh? I really have faith. Eh? And then I hear about it, I'm going to, it's news to me. So, I'm not going to do that. I didn't say I'm going to do that. No, but then he goes like, but did I not have enough faith now? What was wrong? No. But if I go to Elroy and I say, Elroy, I'm going to give you my car. It's just at the car wash now, but I'm going to give you my car. Right? And then he goes to Peter, okay, got faith that, you know, Paul's going to give me his car. Why does he have faith? Because I said it. Does that make sense? So if you're struggling with faith, you know what you need? To hear God's voice. You need to hear God's voice. I know some of you are like, yo, but I'm trying and I'm struggling. And we'll get there. We'll get there. And I want to say this. If you struggle with that, like with this thing, I struggle to hear God's voice, or I don't know what to do anymore. I'll tell you where I think you are in that space now. But ask those around you. What do you think God is saying? I feel clouded. I don't know what he's saying. Sometimes we struggle to hear him through the noise. Ask those around you. What do you think God is saying to me? I'm struggling. Or I think God is saying this. What do you think? And then those around you can witness, like, yes, we also think that's what God is saying to you. So if you're struggling, it's a good check, right? The second lesson I think we need to learn from Peter Faith becomes real with action. See, I got Pinocchio up there. You know why? Because he wants to be a real boy. Now, you know what? Jesus wants your faith to be real. You know? That's, thank you. No, thank you. No, but seriously, we sometimes we have this thing that we think is faith, which I think is just a dead faith, which is a useless faith. And I'm not saying that because I think so. This is what the Bible says in James 2, verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. A different translation would say faith by itself is useless without action. Useless. Imagine that. So imagine Peter is in the boat. And he's like, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. And then Jesus says, yes, come. And he's like, great, I've got faith. And he sits here, looks at the other disciples. Do you guys have faith as well? You know, it's like, that's good. See, it's a bit rough though. No. He needed to step out of the boat to make his faith complete. Another translation would even say that faith isn't complete without action. And I want to say, man, I think some of us are struggling to hear God's voice because we already heard it, but we don't want to follow it. Have you found that for yourself? I remember a guy that used to disciple me. I went to him like, oh, I'm struggling to hear God's voice. And he said, okay, well, what was the last thing God told you to do? I was like thinking, okay, I think like a couple of months ago, he said that thing, I needed to stop doing that thing. I can't even remember what it was, but it was something that God told me to stop doing something. I just didn't. And I remember he looking to me, he's like, well, maybe go back there. You'll find him there. I was like, wow, it really shook me. Sometimes all we need to do is go back to what he said. I honestly believe, man, go back to the last thing that God told you and do that. And then you'll see your faith starts to rise. The third thing, you will doubt when you look at the waves. Right? Do you notice that's what happens with Peter? In verse 30, but when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. How many times have you seen that? God tells you, you know, to do something or to take a step of faith. You know, we like to use that word, take a step of faith. And then we start looking at the budget. And we're like, yeah, Lord. And honestly, your budget is nothing compared to like big waves and winds. Yeah. I mean, if you mess it up, it's your budget, you're going to the red. If he messes it up, he sinks and he's dead. You know what I mean? Like Peter's stakes are higher. He's got his life on the line, right? So, and he started to worry, he started to doubt. And when God speaks, we need to hold on to what he said. Now, I'll get to what happens to, you know, because we can miss your God. If you think you perfectly hear God, please come and teach me how to do that. That'd be great. But the point is, we need to take that chance. Oftentimes we sit in the boat, like Peter. And we're like, oh, did God say, did God not? I would say this. Rather take a step in faith, thinking this is what God said. And then letting him save you if it's not. Versus always being passive. Because I honestly think God sees our heart, you know. He does see our heart, right? I know that's been used as a... as an excuse, you know, guys go to KR Plekke and they, you know, hang out and smoke and stuff. But God sees my heart. You know, I'm like, yeah, it should scare you. It's a bit scary. But he also sees our heart when we go, Lord, I'm not sure what to do, but I'm going to take a step of faith because I think this is where you are. And if he's not there, trust that he can save you. But don't, like, the very thing we need to wrestle with in this town and even in, like, in this group and especially our age group is this thing of being passive. So rather take a step of faith. Look, if it's a big thing, make sure you speak to leaders and just make sure, you know. If you don't want to make sure, that's another warning sign. If you ever feel like you don't want to ask a leader if this is a good idea, you should probably not do that. Does that make sense? I've felt it so many times. I asked my wife. Right. Then I'm like, oh, I've got this idea, but I don't want to mention it to Haya because I'm afraid he says no. Or I'm afraid he says it's not a good idea. So then I just do it and then it doesn't work. Right. You know, but that feeling of, I don't want accountability. Watch out for that thing. Don't be afraid for accountability. Right? Because that thing is there to protect you. But once you've chatted to people and everyone's like, yeah, this makes sense, you know, it's a good idea, take that step and don't look at the waves. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at the storms around you. Don't look at the winds. Man, if God tells you, I want to use an example, right? I'm going to use an example of, you guys know Kurtzen from AM Congregation. So I was speaking to him last week. I think it was, Liffy, when was it? It was last week. I think it was last week. Anyway, we were having a chat with them, and I remember them like just sharing like, they're feeling like they need to take this step of faith, you know, moving into a bigger place, you know, but budget's tight, and but they think maybe it's God. And you know, Kurtzen is a very conservative guy by nature, which is a good thing because he manages stuff well, you know, he manages yellow well, and he's a great deacon and all. So I remember just feeling like, yo, I feel like God's saying, yes, take a shot, go for it, have faith, you know, step out of that boat and don't look at the budget, wind and waves. Right? And that's not the advice I would give to everyone. So I'm not just saying, just go for it. But in that scenario, it was like, this might be God. I remember him just going like, yes, okay, it's going to fit, but barely. You know? I mean, there's a lot of things that needs to happen first, before. Because what do we want to do? Sometimes we're like Peter going like, Lord, calm the waves down and then I'll step out. Where he says, no, step out. Why should I make it? Just have faith. And then Kurtzen was like, okay, you know, he's gonna do it. So they literally, they sent in their application for the new place, and it was great. They got it. I think like that next, maybe it was like, what day is it today? Sunday? On Friday, I think, he WhatsApped me with a screenshot where he got an interview for a new job. And it's just an interview. But I remember just going like, bro, that is crazy. Like, just step in. Look, if he gets a job or not, but there's a sense of, we want to see the safety before we step out. But God says, no, step out, and then I'll give you that safety. If he wants to give you that safety. Doesn't make sense. I remember like, wow, it's so counterintuitive, right? I mean, sorry, can I use you as an example as well? Yeah, I actually have you as an option. Yeah, I forgot to ask you beforehand. Now, I mean, even with Dean, right? So this is a cool story. It's like very similar. I remember we chatting to him about, so him and Yaku just moved out into a place in Langenhoven Park, right? Huh? Yes, hey. We just need to get Yaku a bed, you know. If you've been at their place, his room is a mattress. It's all there is. It's a real, you know. Kelsey, please help him. Anyways, I remember speaking to Dean about this very thing. Hey, Dean, maybe God's telling you to, you know, move out, you know. Because we all, look, guys, we need to grow up. Eh? We need, like, honestly, we need to grow up. You know, we need to, that's one of the biggest, I think it's like a sickness, man. It's like young people don't want to grow up. We just want to stay at our, you know, at our mom's place and just be safe. And honestly, till today, sometimes I wake up and I'm just like, yes, I remember how fun it was just staying in my parents' house. Okay, so Quentin's like, oh man. No, because they pay for everything. They make food. They clean your stuff. You know, there's usually someone who comes in and cleans the house, and it's just safe, you know. But man, we need to grow up. Now, guys, you guys are doing well, but we need to be men. We need to stop being children and grow up. And then girls, you girls as well. You know, we need to grow up. Now I know some of you are students, so you're in raise. That's fine. But we need to grow up. We need to kill this childlike, this like being kinderachtig. Now, have a childlike faith. Don't be a child. You know? Like, seriously, like, we need to grow up. So, you know? I mean, even ladies, if you're single, come chat to us. We'll... uh-huh. Thank you, Yaku. If you're listening to the preach, I'm trying to sell my friend Timba here. You can WhatsApp me on. I'm going to get random WhatsApps from random towns now. Yeah. Send it to my email address. Yeah. No, yeah, I'll digress. I was speaking to Dean, and I remember even just with him, like, oh, I need to move out, but the budget's tight. Like, bro, man, take it step of faith. And he's like, and he's been applying for new jobs like forever. Right? Like, I mean, it's been years, and it's just nothing. He moves out. How long was it after you guys moved out? Yeah, but you made the decision, right? Yeah, hectic. So that, he was like, okay, we're going to move out. And like the week before they moved out, he's got an interview for a new job. So like, I know it's just an interview, but still, like all of a sudden, as he steps out, God goes like, okay, right? Now, honestly, we watch out for that thing of waiting for the safety net. Let's, man, just go for it. What's the worst that can happen? I know, there's some bad things can happen. But that's why you do this in accountability. But man, take a step. Go for it. Honest, man, your breakthrough, I honestly think your breakthrough often comes after obedience. We want the breakthrough and then we'll obey, isn't it? Like, Lord, bring the breakthrough, then I'll do what you say. No. Do what he says, and then the breakthrough would come. Oh, but what if the breakthrough doesn't come? I don't know. Maybe God wants you to be like Job. Good luck. No, but seriously, he can. Why can't God have a Job moment with you? Why not? Yeah, because well, for you, yeah, you're fine. But for the rest of them, yeah. No, but seriously, God is God. If he wants you to be like Job for a season or for a moment, all you need to know is that he's good and that he deserves it and that he can, because it's not about me. So all I do is, okay, I go, right? I mean, think of Abraham. Hebrews 11 speaks about Abraham as this guy of faith that by faith goes to the promised land, but he never actually sees the promised land. Do you know that? He goes by faith and there's just trial after trial and it's rough and this guy wants to kill him, that guy wants to kill him, this guy wants to sleep with his wife and it gets rough. But he's got faith and he goes. But he never sees the promise. But if he didn't walk in faith, would we be here? The theologian, yeah, obviously. But anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. And notice, the enemy will come with like an all-out attack when you step in obedience. And that all-out attack is, he comes to you, he's like, no, look at the waves, look at the wind. He just wants to get your eyes off Jesus. You just stick your eyes on Jesus. Okay, no, I'm going. Lesson number 4. Jesus can save us even if we sink. That is a quality photo. I wanted to use this photo, right? Because I love the picture of the disciples in the background. And because they're all like, yo, we're glad we didn't sink. Yeah, but you also didn't walk on water. Right? It's a bit like, yo, you, it's great that you didn't sink, but what did you do for God? And sit in the boat. You know? Anyway, Jesus can save you even when you sink. Matthew 14, verse 30. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Man, God can immediately reach out and grab you. Honestly, if you're afraid to sink, it's because you don't know God can save you. Because you don't know the goodness and the greatness of your God. He can save you however he wants. I mean, I've made some mistakes, and then God comes and he saves me. And honestly, afterwards, I feel God going like, it was a close one, eh? I'm like, yes, I'm Lord. Thank you. I'm sorry. But he's a good father. Now, some of you grew up with a father that says, yeah, I mean, you're fool. Yeah? If you don't want to listen, then you need to feel. And then we come to God with that same expectation. Going like, nah, God's just going to let me work on my own. If I mess up, I can't go to God. One of the thing I'm the most thankful for my dad, is he always used to tell me this. He used to tell me, Paul, you can do anything. You can mess up. You can just come to me and I'll help you. No matter what you do, if you keep it away from me, I'm not going to help you. But if you mess up anyway, come to me and I will help you. As one of the things that really helped me with the way that I relate to God is that I can come to God with any issue, with any struggle, and he's going to help me because he's a good father. He's not a father that says, no, sorry. God doesn't come to you and say, well, you made your bed, now you sleep in it. You know? So I know sometimes there's consequences, but he helps and he can save. As long as our heart's in the right space. Like, God, I'm doing this because I think this is where you are. I'm trying to step out in faith. I think he goes like, well done. It's not what I said, but well done that you want to follow me. Hebrews 4, verse 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Man, we
Jesus, our high priest, the one that stands before God on our behalf, he's able to have sympathy on us. He sympathizes with our weakness. He knows. The different translation would say, God knows what you're going through. He knows. And when you're sitting there like, Lord, I know you're calling me to maybe move out of my parents' home, but you don't understand my budget. He says, I know. I know what financial stress is like. Some of you want to get married and you're like, yes, Lord, how am I going to pay for the... I'm just saying. Right? If there is someone like that, you know. Man, God knows the stresses. He can provide. You know how big wedding he needs to plan? You know, the big bride needs to come together. You know, you're thinking your organizing a marriage is rough. he's got millions of guests coming. The Bible actually says he's there right now preparing a place for us. He's basically planning a wedding. Right? So ladies, man, you can be like Jesus if you plan a wedding. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Nah, that's a bit far-fetched, but I'm just making a joke. Everyone was like, did you just say that? Man, God knows what you're going through. And have boldness. Verse 16, therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. You can shout out with boldness, God, save me. I'm sinking. Maybe it's because he didn't say step out of the boat. Or maybe you started doubting. And, you know, because the worst thing you can do is do a halfway out of the boat and then you start doubting and, you know. So sometimes if you want to go for it, go for it. You know, if there's a gap and you want to jump over the gap, and then just as you jump, you kind of go like, oh, no, it's a bit too far, and you stop, but you already kind of started. So now you're falling. So you're halfway through and you just fall. The best thing you can do is just go for it. Just jump over. If you make it, great. If you don't, then good luck. Someone will help you. But the worst thing you can do is doubt halfway through. Go for it. But even if God can save you, the fifth lesson. A little faith is better than no faith. I honestly think so. Matthew 14, verse 31. Jesus says, you have so little faith. Jesus says, why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. But I had this thought as I was reading this. What did Jesus think about the other 11? I had this thought, like, wow, Lord. Like, I mean, he still loves them, but what I mean is, look at the great things that Peter did after that. Not just after that, man, like, he goes on leading. He's this great apostle, you know. Jesus would go and say, man, on this rock I will build my church. And he becomes like this firm pillar in the church because Jesus knows he's a guy that goes for it. I'm not saying God kind of just, you know, just, oh, these other 11 suck. But I wonder, what would you have done if you were one of the 11? I'm like, ah, man, maybe I should have, ah. You know that, ah, maybe I should have also asked God, God, if it is you, I want to also step out of the boat. I want to also walk on water like Peter. Yes, he sank. But God said, you have so little faith. I know that's a bit of, he's tuning Peter. Oh, why you have so little faith? But he doesn't even say anything about the 11. Because they had no faith. That's worse. No, honestly, don't be like the 11. If we are afraid to fail, we will fail to grow. I mean, I think I've said this many times, right? Don't be afraid to fail, because then we will fail to grow. I don't know, some of you are saying, look, Paul, I've had times where I think God is saying something to me. And it didn't work out. It's okay. Get back up and try again. Don't let the devil discourage you with past failures. Don't let the devil get you down. That's the best way you can let the devil win, is sit back and say, ah, I'm not going to try again. And ask God, Lord, what are you doing? Where do you want me to go? And I'm going to have faith to go for it. And look, wisdom would say this. And I, you know, if you failed in the past, it was a great idea to be more accountable maybe next time. You know what I mean? Because you failed. Right? But even if you were super accountable, don't blame God. Have faith. We don't know what God's plan is. Just like in Job. Have you guys read the book of Job?
And let's say you did, right? Okay. On the recording, everyone said yes. I'm kidding, they didn't. But go and read the book of Job, man. If you're feeling like, oh, but I've had faith, or I've tried, and it sucked. If you go and look at his life, I mean, his life sucked. You think your life's bad? He's lost everything. Like, everything possible to lose, he's lost it. Right? So you've not been there yet. You know, people go like, oh, I'm going for a Job moment. You know, have you lost your wife and kids and everything? Probably not there. But go and read that. God was even in Job losing everything. Because now we can read the book of Job and we learn so much about God. Now, at the end of the book of Job, Job's like, God, I don't understand. And he's miffed with God. And God, I think he's quite like stern in that moment. And I almost imagine God going to Job like, listen, yeah, like you're whining now. But, and then he starts to explain to him like, where were you when I formed the earth? And he starts tuning Job by telling Job how big he is. And I imagine Job sitting there going like, oh my word, there's so much that I don't know. I should probably just keep quiet and know that he is God. Because even if everything is falling apart, I don't know what God is doing with this. Man, God will not let a little bit of suffering go to waste. I don't have the scripture, but man, God does use all things for the good of those who love him. He works together all things. Man, maybe you're going through whatever, maybe someone has done this to you or that to you or this thing or that thing. God can even use something that wasn't a good intention for you. You know, maybe it's not that God wanted this to happen to your life, but he can use even the plans of the devil to bring across good. One of my favorite and mind-wrecking stories in the Bible is with David and Bathsheba. Right? David sees this girl and he's like, hey. And he sleeps with this girl. Then she becomes pregnant. And he goes, eesh. this is a chamor, right? And then he realizes, look, I need to hide it. So he calls her husband. Her husband is part of the army. So he calls her husband to come back. And he tells her husband, look, you've been working so hard. Eh? You can have like an off weekend. You know, why don't you and your wife go away? You know, he's so kind of like a vacancy in George. All expenses paid. He's like, man, please just go spend some time with your wife so that people would think it's your child. Right? And then this guy is like, no, I'm not going to spend time with my wife because the guys are in the battle. That's wrong. And then David goes, oh, yes, okay. So then he sends back this guy. And he tells the commander, listen, would you please put this guy in the front line so that he dies? Right? He does this. And then the guy goes into the front line and he dies. So then David marries his wife, who, you know, is now a widow, so that no one notices that he slept with someone else's wife. So he kills someone, right? So now, she's pregnant, but he just plays it off like, no, it was just afterwards. It happened afterwards. Right? One of those weddings that just happened like this. Anyway. I mean, he messes up. And you know what? Later on, so now he marries Bathsheba, and later on, a couple of years later, Bathsheba gets another child, because now they're married, right? It's happened. And this child's name is Solomon. And Solomon gets children, and then gets children. And then eventually Jesus himself, Jesus' great-grandma, like great-great-great-great-grandma, is Bathsheba. And I kind of go like, God uses this massive mistake, and he brings Jesus through it. I'm like, wow. Like, God is not caught off guard. You cannot put him in checkmate. Like, there is nothing that can happen where he's not like, oh, yeah, I didn't, okay. And nothing, if you try and take a step of faith and you sing, God does not go like, I was really hoping you don't do that. He's ready. He's waiting for you to shout out, God, save me. And he can. And he can even use that to redeem the whole world. That's like crazy. Even your bad decision can turn out good. And if anything, have faith that even if you mess up, God can bring some good out of it.